أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب الكريم: إني جاعلك للناس إماما. صلوات. During these majalis of the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, the theme has been about imamat in the Quran. But till now I just focused on one incident, ayat number 124 of Surah Baqarah, which is about the position of imamat bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Ibrahim alayhi salam after he went through various tests and trials that Allah put him through. And we saw that, you know, after being a Nabi and a Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama, that I'm appointing you as an imam. So this is where we see this sublime position of imamat in that sense. And so the desire came up in the heart of Ibrahim. He prays, and Allah basically, you know, accepts his dua, and that is an indication that appointing anyone as an imam is not in the hand of any human being, not even an Ulul Azm prophet like Ibrahim. And Allah promised that to Ibrahim, but he put a condition that this will only be for those who are not zalimeen. Zulm in the meaning of shirk, zulm in the meaning of sins. And that's where we see this concept that we have, that the imam must be masoom. Let me now go to another ayah tonight, where we come from Surah number 21, ayah 73. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interestingly, in this story about Ibrahim, in a different surah, he talks about his descendants and he mentions the role of the imams. What is the function of the imams in human society? And that's where we see again, he uses the word ja'al, which I mentioned two nights ago, that wherever you see imam or a'imma or khalifa has been mentioned, Allah takes it in his own hand. He says, ja'ala or ja'ilun, ja'iluka, ja'alna, we appoint. And so this is where we see, he says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ عَيْمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَوَحِيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. Two things here. He says, number one, we made them or appointed them as imam. For what? يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, they guide the people according to our command. And number two, وَوَحِيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ, we inspired to them or revealed to them the doing of good and to establish prayers, to give in charity, and to be among those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see two things. Number one, when Allah appoints somebody as a guide and a leader, whether they are in the form of Nabi or Rasul or Imam, Allah equips them with the knowledge and the guidance. يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, they guide according to our command. And the second thing, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ, that they should do doing good deeds. This shows that they have to be presented or looked upon as role models for their followers. So these are two things that we see about the position of the imamate. What I would like to do is tonight, you know, we talked about the childhood of Ali in the sense of, you know, who was the first Muslim from a historical point of view. And this is where I would like to go back to this issue of Amir al-Mu'mineen's position as somebody who was Iman from the beginning till the end. Rather, you know, he's the only one who was given this title by Rasulullah as Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's not only a Mu'min, he is the chief of the Mu'mineen. And it's amazing that even in Shia theology, you don't use this title for any other imams. You can't even say, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ja'far al-Sadiq. or Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali al-Ridha. This is exclusively, you know, only for Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat ibn Akbar. He was not just the first Imam, he was not just the first Muslim, he was always a Muslim. And this is what I would like to, you know, just go back to this point, that he never bowed down in front of an idol to worship. And this is where we see the similarity between him and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim, Rasulullah actually gave this honor to Ali to get on his shoulders, to go on the roof of Kaaba and throw the big idol down. On this issue, you see the similarity between Ibrahim. If you look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is known to be the breaker of idols. You know, the whole story is there in the Quran also. And Amir al-Mu'mineen also was given this, unwan and title. So Ibrahim is Kasir al-Asnam, Butchikan. And Ali is also his Kasir al-Asnam, he is also Butchikan. Salawat on the Quran. And so let me tonight, you know, dedicate this majlis to share with you the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen about himself, as far as his childhood is concerned. You know, Muslim historians have an issue. Oh, he was a minor, so it doesn't really count. Look at Ali as a child. And this is where it's important to realize his, attachment to Rasulullah and the Quran from the very beginning, from his own childhood. And since we are into these nights of Laylatul Qadr, connection with the Quran is also very important. In Ahl al-Balagha, there is a khutbatul qasi'a, which is khutbah number 192. This is probably the longest khutbah in Ahl al-Balagha. And, you know, in the beginning, he talks about shaitan's arrogance. Then he goes through the examples of many prophets. You know, as opposed to shaitan, he talks about the humility of the prophets. And then he, at the end, talks about his closer relationship with Rasulullah and ends with the story of the beginning of the revelation of the Quran. What I would like to do is go to the last part of that sermon. And this is where Ali begins by talking of his close relationship with the Prophet. When he says that, you know, I was with Rasulullah, I used to live with Rasul from a very young age. He doesn't mention the age, but historically, if you go and study, it was at the age of 5 that Rasulullah, in a way, adopted Ali. Abu Talib alayhi salam was going through some financial challenges. And so Rasulullah and his uncle Abbas, Rasul actually proposed to Abbas. He says, you know, my uncle Abu Talib has been very generous. He took care of me. We should do something for him. So why don't we go and take one of, I'll take one son of Abu Talib, you take another. So that his burden of, you know, taking care of the children will be less. And it was in that event that Rasulullah took Ali. And Ali was only 5 years old. And from that age, Ali is now being raised. He lives in the house of Muhammad and Khadija, salawatullah alayhi majma'in. So see what he says. وقد علمت موضعي من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله بالقرابة القريبة والمنزلة الخصيصة. He says, certainly you know my position of close kinship and special relationship with the Prophet of Allah. وضعني في هجره. You know, when I was a very small child, وأنا وليد. وضعني في هجره وأنا وليد. When I was only a child, he took charge of me. And, you know, just like a father, he would hug him. And then he goes on to say, not only that, وَكَانَ يَمْضَغُ الشَّيْثُمَّ يُلْقِمُنِي. Even when we sit down to eat, you know, if the, let's say, the meat morsel was a hard one, he will first chew it, make them soft, and then he will feed me. وَمَا وَجَدَ لِي كَذْبَةً فِي قَوْلٍ وَلَا خَلْطَةً فِي فِعْلٍ. And even in my childhood, Rasulullah, he found in me neither a lie in my speech nor weakness in my deeds. This is the young Ali who is still a minor. And then he talks about the life of Rasulullah, how he saw Rasulullah. وَلَقَدْ قَرَنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ لَدُنْ كَانَ فَطِيمًا أَعْظَمُ مَلَكٍ مِنْ مَلَائِكَتِهِ. He says, people don't know that Allah has assigned a special angel to be with Rasulullah all the time. From his childhood. Now Ali didn't see the childhood, but this is what he knows from him. يَسْلُكُ بِهِ طَرِيقُ الْمَكَارِمِ وَمَحَاسِلَ أَخْلَاقِ الْعَالَمِ لَيْلُهُ وَنَهَارُهُ. Daytime or nighttime, that malak will be there, you know, basically guiding him in all step about the best of the akhlaq and the best of the manners. And then Rasulullah will teach me. The way he described it so beautifully, he says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَتَّبِعُهُ عِتَّبَعَ الْفَصِيلِ أَسَرَ أُمِّهِ. And I would follow him like a young camel following in the footsteps of its mother. Whatever Rasulullah would do, Ali also would follow. And every day, وَيَرْفَعُ لِي فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْ أَخْلَاقِهِ عَلَمًا وَيَعْمُرُنِ بِالِاقْتِدَابِهِ. Every day he will show me an example of his high akhlaq and command me to follow it. This is the childhood of Ali as far as, you know, very briefly he talks about it in this khutbah. Then Ali talks about the first revelation of the Quran, the first five ayat from the surah which came earlier, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. And this happened in the cave of Hira. Rasulullah, that one year before the revelation, had made a habit that he would spend most of the time in that cave, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before even his risalat starts, before the revelation starts. And, you know, he would go there for a few days sometimes. Now, there was no mini fridge there in the cave of Hira, you know, to cook the food. It was Ali who every day will go down, come up, you know, bring water, bring food from home. And so he was there with Rasulullah in that cave of Hira. And so he talks about it. He said, وَقَدْ كَانَ يُجَابِرُ فِي كُلِّ سَنَةٍ بِهِرَى. Every year, you know, especially closer to that time, he would go in seclusion in the hill of Hira. And this is the important part where he says, لَا يَرَاهُ غَيْرِي فَعَرَاهُ. Where I see him and no one else saw him. Nobody was there. Only I used to go and see him. And those days, he says, وَلَمْ يَجْمَعْ بَيْءٌ وَاحِدٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ غَيْرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَخَدِيجَ وَأَنَا ثَالِثُهُمَا. Those days, Islam didn't exist in any house except that one house where Rasulullah and Khadija and I was the third one. And then he says this, أَرَى نُورَ الْوَحِي وَالْرِسَالَةِ وَعَشُمُّ رِيحَ النُّبُوَّةِ. I used to see the light and the effulgence of divine revelation and risalat, and I used to breathe the scent of prophethood. This is the minor Ali. He's able to see the nur of risalat and nubuwwat and revelation. He is able to smell the fragrance of Nubuwwat while he is there in that cave. And he says, when the day when the ayat came for the first time, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ رَنَّةَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He says, when the ayat came for the first time, I heard the cry of Shaitan, and I turned to Rasulullah, and I asked him, Ya Rasulullah, ma hadhihi ar-ranna? What is this cry that I heard? And this is where Rasulullah says, Hadha Shaitan. This is the cry of the Shaitan, qad aisa min ibadatihi. He is now lost hope in people worshiping him exclusively. And then Rasulullah says to Ali, these are his own words, innaka tasma' ma asma' wa tara ma ara. O Ali, you hear what I hear, and O Ali, you see what I see, illa annaka lasta bi nabiyyin. The only difference between me and you is that I'm a Nabi, you are not a Nabi. Walakinnaka lawazirun. You are the wazir, the vicegerent, and the minister. Wa'innaka la'ala khair. And indeed, you are on the path of virtue. Salawat parna ek bara. This is the childhood of Ali. You know, this is where you do think about it. He's the one who grew up and lived in the house of Islam. And you are asking, when did he become a Muslim? So ridiculous to even raise that question in that way. And, you know, may God bless that Sunni scholar. When he said, you know, Ali pehle Musliman nahi the, pehle se Musliman the. At least have that much of ma'rifat being the Shia of Ali. You know, he followed Ali, he followed Rasulullah like a young camel following the footsteps of the mother. So Ali basically is a reflection of the character and akhlaq of Rasulullah. You cannot question his character because whatever is there in Ali comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salawat wa alaykum. You know, Muslims question and they say, oh, he was still a minor. A minor who could see the nur of divine revelation. A minor who could, you know, feel and smell the fragrance of nubuwwat. If this is the status of Ali when he is 10 years old, what is the status of Ali when he becomes an adult? We don't even have the ability to comprehend the actual fadilat and status of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Before I go to the next theme in this, people might say you quoted this from Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha doesn't have references. Sayyid Razi did not compile Nahj al-Balagha as a book of hadith. He was an expert in Arabic language and eloquency. And this book was compiled by him from the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, wherever he thought that this is, you know, the best example of, you know, eloquent and clear statement in Arabic language. And that's how it became famous. And the title he gave, Nahj al-Balagha, The Path of Eloquence. And so he didn't feel necessary to give the reference from all the khutbas and sayings. Only some places he does it. But remember, scholars have worked on it for decades now, trying to come up with the sources used by Sayyid Razi before. This khutbah, which is a very long one, we don't have the reference for it. But interestingly, when I was writing the paper on this issue, this part of the khutbah at the end, where Ali talks about his childhood, there is a very solid reference for that. And interestingly, it is in a book which was written before Sayyid Razi, by a Zaydi Shia scholar with his sanad connecting all the way to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and from him going to his father, forefathers, to Husayn ibn Ali, who says, I heard my father saying those words. Salawat padhne ek baar. So at least this part of that khutbah is, you know, documented with reference when Ali talks about it in that way. And this is where we had to realize, you know, the importance of that event when he says, I was there and I heard the cry of the shaitan. It's not the topic for tonight, but, you know, maybe some other time. Go and read the story of the beginning of the revelation of Quran in Sahih Bukhari. There the narrator is Aisha, who was not even born at that time. So, you know, sanad-wise, there is a problem there. And the way she talks about it, and all the Sunnis go with that, and Western scholars also follow Sahih Bukhari there, where they say, Rasulullah didn't know what's happening. He didn't know who is Jibreel. He came down from the cave to home, and he's saying to Bibi Khadija, oh, put a, you know, a chadar or a blanket on me. I think I have been possessed by a jinn. Some narrations they have where they say he became suicidal. That, you know, you see the jinn has, you know, overcome me. And he would go to the cliff to throw himself down, and Jibreel will come and push him back. That's the beginning of the revelation. Until Khadija, according to Sahih Bukhari, you know, Kitab Badil Wahi, beginning of the revelation, right in the beginning. Until they say Khadija then took Rasulullah to her cousin who was a Christian scholar. And he said, can you, you know, listen to his story, what he is saying? And it was a Christian scholar who affirmed to Muhammad bin Abdullah that what is happening to you is what happened to Musa. It was not a jinn, it was an angel. And this is where Rasulullah becomes calm. So, mashallah, our Rasul became calm by the words of a Christian scholar. And not only that, he doesn't know what's happening. You know, Warqa bin Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija, says that, you know, a time will come when your people will oppose you and throw you out of Medina, from Mecca. But I wouldn't be alive at that time. So he knows even the future about Rasulullah. And Rasulullah himself didn't know what's going on. Whereas you have this testimony from somebody who was there, alive. The only eyewitness to the first revelation of the ayat of Quran in the history of Islam is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. The only eyewitness who was there at that time, who heard this cry of shaitan, he asked Rasulullah, and Rasulullah knows what is going on. He says, you know, ice, the shaitan has become ice. He's lost hope in his plan. And he talks about, you know, Risalat and Nubuwat, and even he talks about the position of Ali. Let me now go to an ayat of Quran about it. In Surah Ra'd, Surah number 13, there is ayat at the end. You know, the mushrikeen of Makkah would constantly oppose Rasulullah. They would say, you are a sorcerer, you are a magician, you are a lunatic, and this and that. And of course, Rasulullah, from a human perspective, would be sometimes very sad, very hurt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will console him. That Rasulullah don't care about their words. So the last ayat of Surah Ra'd, Surah number 13, ayat 43 says, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. O Muhammad, this people, the kafir of Mecca, the unbelievers, are telling to you Lasta mursalan, you are not a rasul. You are not a messenger. Say to them, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say to them, I don't care about your words. For me it is sufficient between me and you. Allah is my witness that I am a rasul. Ayat didn't stop there. Allah says, say to them, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. It is Allah says to Rasul, say to them, I don't care about your rejection. Between me and you, it is sufficient that Allah is my witness and the one who has the knowledge of the book. Who is that person? Quran doesn't name it. Name that person. Man عنده علم الكتاب. And this is a title which can fit no one in the Ummah at that time but Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. After all, the Prophet said, Ana Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Babuha. Everybody knows about it. In one of the cases where Ali says to the people, Saluni, Saluni, Qablan Tafquduni. During his Khilafat time, there is one statement about the ayat of Quran where he says, فَوَالَّذِي فَلَقَ الْحَبَّ وَبَرَأَ النَّسْمَ, that by the one who split this seed and created the soul, لَوْ سَأَلْتُمُونِي أَنْ أَيِّ آيَةٍ, if you ask me about any ayat of the Quran, فِي لَيْلٍ أُنزِلَتْ أَوْ فِي نَهَارٍ, whether it was revealed at night time or the daytime, Makkiha wa Madaniha, whether it was revealed in Mecca or Medina, Safariha wa Hadariha, whether it was revealed when the Prophet was traveling or he was stationed in Medina, Nasikhiha wa Mansukhaha, whether the ayat was abrogated or abrogating another ayat, Muhkamiha wa Mutashabiha, whether you want to know the ayat which has allegorical symbolic meaning or very precise and clear meaning, وَتَعْوِيلَهَا وَتَنْزِيلَهَا, if you want to know the meaning of the ayat and the occasion of the revelation, إِلَّا أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ, I will inform you about it. Salawat Pranay Parada. This is where we say that, you know, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ is Ali ibn Abi Talib. It is the day of Shahadat, the month of Ramadan, and there is a symbolic connection between Ali and Quran. Ali is the speaking Quran, Quran natiq, and the book is Quran samit, silent one. It was in the Laylatul Qadr that the silent Quran was revealed on the heart of the Prophet. And it was during those nights that the speaking Quran ascended back to the heavens. Ali ke Shia, Amirul Mu'mineen, apne zamane mein bhi mazloom rahe. شہادت کے بعد بھی مظلوم ہیں لوگ نہ ان کی قدر کر سکے نہ اسے انہیں پہچان سکے بلکہ وہ بغض کا وہ لیول تھا کہ آپ سوچیں کہ وہ شخص جو پورے مسلم امپائر کا خلیفہ ہو امام ہو اسے اسیسیڈیٹ کر دیا جائے شہید کر دیا جائے تو اس کا جنازہ بڑے احترام کے ساتھ نکلنا چاہیے پوری قوم کو آنا چاہیے تھا لیکن ہم لوگ دیکھتے ہیں کہ دشمنوں کے اس بغض کی وجہ سے ہیٹریٹ کی وجہ سے یہ جنازہ بھی شان کے ساتھ نہیں نکل سکا تین الگ الگ تابوت رات کے وقت جو ہے کوفہ سے دوسرے شہروں کے ڈائریکشن میں بھیجے گئے تاکہ جو خوارج جو دشمن سے تھے انہیں کنفیوز کیا جائے. اور جہاں تک قبر کی بات ہے, تین سے چار الگ الگ قبروں کو کھودا گیا تھا. آپ کو معلوم ہے کہ علی اتنے مظلوم ہیں کہ ان کی قبر کے نشاندہی کس نے کیے شیعوں کے لیے. یہ چھٹے امام کا زمانہ تھا. چھٹے امام نے آ کے بتایا تھا کہ علی کی قبر کہاں ہے. کوفہ شہر تھا, نجف شہر نہیں تھا, سبب تھا ایک. یہ تو بعد میں قبر کے معلوم ہونے کے بعد وہاں آبادی آہستہ آہستہ آنے لگی. بس اتنا ہی کہیں گے علی سے کہ آپ کے جنازے کی اس کیفیت کو دیکھ کر, مظلومیت کو دیکھ کر فاطمہ کا جنازہ یاد آتا ہے. علی, آپ نے بھی اس حرمت کو بچانے کے لیے فاطمہ کی قبر کی کئی اور قبر آپ نے بنائی تھی تاکہ لوگوں کو اندازہ نہ ہو سکے کہ فاطمہ کی قبر کہاں ہے. حضرت حسین جو حکم تھا علی کا حسن حسین سے کہ جب وقت آئے اور جب جنازے کو اٹھانا تو سامنے کی طرف کوئی نہ رہے, وہاں ہوں گے ملائکہ جو اٹھائیں گے, اور جہاں جہاں وہ جس ڈائریکشن میں وہ جنازہ جاتا ہے تابوت, تم اسی کے ساتھ ساتھ چلنا. ایک جگہ آتی ہے جہاں ایک قبر بنی ہوئی تھی. امیر المومنین کو گھر والے دفن کرتے ہیں. دفن کرنے کے بعد امام کے ایک صحابی تھے جن کا نام تھا سعصہ بن سوہان. یہ بہت ہی زبردست خطیب تھے اور شاگرد تھے علی کے, وفادار بھی تھے, بہت تھے. یہ کھڑے ہوتے ہیں, خطبہ بیان کرتے ہیں جہاں علی سے خطاب کرتے ہیں. ہم بس ایک حصے کو آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا چاہیں گے جہاں کہتے ہیں, فہنی لک یا امیر المومنین کنت اقرب الناس من رسول اللہ قربا. اے علی, آپ کو مبارک ہو, آپ رسول سے بہت ہی قریب تھے. اولہ سلمن, تسلیم ہونے میں بھی سب سے آگے تھے, قربانیوں میں بھی سب سے آگے تھے. اور اس کے بعد ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں, لیکن اے علی, جب تک آپ زندہ رہے آپ کی زندگی ہمارے لیے خیر کی چابی تھی اور شر کے لیے قفل کا عنوان تھا, لیکن آج وہ خیر کی چابی جو ہے وہ غائب ہو چکی ہے اور شر کے دروازے کھل چکے ہیں. اداران حسین, اس کے بعد سعصہ بن سوہان نے رونا شروع کیا جات ایک زمین پہ بیٹھ کر قبر سے مٹی اٹھاتے ہیں, اپنے سر پر ڈالتے ہیں اور رونا شروع کر دیتے ہیں. سعصہ بن سوہان کے رونے کو دیکھ کر تمام جتنے گھر والے اور اصحاب جو جمع تھے وہ سب جو ہیں بلند آواز میں رونا شروع کرتے ہیں. آہستہ آخر میں آہستہ آہستہ سعصہ بن سوہان اور اصحاب علی امام حسن کے پاس جاتے ہیں, پرسا دیتے ہیں, تسلیت پیش کرتے ہیں. حسن کے حسین کے پاس جاتے ہیں, محمد حنفیہ کے پاس جاتے ہیں, عباس کے پاس جاتے ہیں, علی کے دوسری اولاد کی طرف جاتے ہیں. پرسا دینے کے بعد حضرت حسین, بس ایک جملہ ہم کہنا چاہیں گے, اگرچہ امام زین العابدین کم سن سے لیکن یقیناً اس منظر کو دیکھا ہوگا کہ باپ کے مرنے کے بعد اولاد کو لوگ تسلی دیتے ہیں, لیکن آئے سجاد انہیں یہ منظر اس وقت یاد آیا ہوگا جب وہ کربلا سے روانہ ہوئے, جہاں دیکھتے ہیں کہ بابا کے لاشے کو بے گور و کفن کربلا میں چھوڑ کے جا رہے ہیں. الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. ماتم حسين
يا حسين يا حسين.